Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Left hand dribble drive. Jump pass left side. Kobe. Kobe in the pump. Kobe in the drive. Kobe to the rack. And a right-handed power dunk. Kobe White with a slam. Oh, my goodness. Kobe White with authority. And he put it down. DeZellis slice inside and throws it down with a power right-handed dunk. Oh, that was filthy. Oh, that was nasty. That's Dennis DeZellis. Just lets it fly for three. Bam! Big time, Onions. Josh Giddey.
Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Giddey goes. Midcourt.
Oh! It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win!
Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
You know the voice. You know the routine. It's the legendary Chuck Swirsky in studio with us here on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi with the day off. He would normally join us in the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. You can download the Circa app today. But no, he said, I'll just come in and talk to you guys. And if you are on Twitch right now, you are getting a visual delight because we've got this man looking like he's about to head to the home opener for the Bears.
Yes.
I mean, you've got the Caleb Williams fit.
I do.
The jersey. Over the hoodie, this is classic football weather ready. Are you just already transitioning seasons? Is that what's
I am.
On?
I'm a huge Bears fan. Caleb Williams was at the game the other night, and I missed that, by the way, because I was locked in with the Bulls. But I love Caleb Williams. I'd love to meet him. I think the guy is total class. I think he is a first-rate individual, and he loves Chicago. And I've seen him interact with fans. He's fantastic, and I think he's going to do a great, great job with the Bears for a good decade plus.
That's
there
the
you
hope.
Go.
We wondered, Chuck, when you came into the studio, and the question was answered because Marshall was kind enough to say, like we do with our guests sometimes, hey, is there anything that you're really hot for that you want to talk about specifically? And what did you say to Mr. Marshall Harris?
Nope, it's all yours. It's your show. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts.
There it is.
Okay,
Joe Bag of Donuts is here.
I need the story
on
this. Because
Joe Bag of Donuts.
How did you come up with this, whether it was you yourself who just decided to call yourself that when hosting on the radio, or did someone give you this nickname, Joe Bag of Donuts?
Well, it began in Toronto.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't even know this. Go on.
It's Tim Hortons, okay? Tim Hortons is like the Dunkin' Donuts, all right? Or Do-Right Donuts, because I love Do-Right Donuts. A little shameless plug there if you want to send a dose. Oh, anyway. So, anyway.
Why didn't nobody? I requested that somebody bring Chuck Donuts. Nobody went and got Chuck Donuts.
Anyway.
But go ahead.
So, anyway, so in Toronto, my broadcast partner was Jack Armstrong from Niagara University, Brooklyn, New York. And he would always refer to himself as, yeah, Jack, I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts. And I said, you know, well, let's be two bags of donuts. And so now that you know, I left Toronto 17 years ago. So, I mean, I always look in the mirror and say, you know what? you got to be humble, which hopefully I am, and I'm very much of a grateful individual. But at the end of the day, I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts.
It's kind of a disclaimer, isn't it? Because that sort of wards off responsibility. Hey, man, I don't know. Hey, I'm just in here coming in here talking about the Bears. I'm just, you know, hey, man, I'm just a caveman. Yeah,
you know how Tom Thibodeau, Marshall, says, you know, just do your job. Just do your job.
Do your job.
For me, hey, listen, I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts.
I think there's a good, healthy separation there also from voice of the Bulls to, hey, Joe Bag of Donuts, he just has opinions and thoughts like everybody else.
It's an alter ego.
It's a healthy alter ego, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, Chuck, man, I mean, like people,
it's third person. Like, you ever interview, I would, back in the day when I was doing baseball, Jose Canseco, and I would say, Jose, coming into Wrigley Field or, you know, Comiskey Park, whatever the case may be, how do you plan this three-game series? Are you going to DH? Are you going to play the outfield? Well, Jose Canseco says that I'm going to play the left field, and Jose Canseco is going to play right field on Saturday. What? I mean, you know, it's like...
No, that's very Ricky Henderson-esque.
Yes.
You probably got that from Ricky Henderson, if I had to guess.
He probably did.
Because Ricky, as you know, third person, that's his... standard operating procedure.
Is. Rest his soul.
I'm actually glad you brought up the Caleb Williams fact, because I was listening and you were very, of course, it's the damn play-in game. It's, you know, win or go home, and Bill's talking up Caleb Williams,
yes,
flinging the ball out there, and you're like, no, we got to focus. May we play the audio?
Sure.
Let's play the audio here, Chuck, because this is something, this is pretty controversial, if you ask me.
There's Caleb Williams, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, being introduced to the crowd. This game resembles so much of what we saw a week ago, Bill, here. Bulls had a big lead.
Yep. And we said, oh, he's throwing a football out.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Got it up to second level. Wow. From that was a toss.
Bears.
And Charlie, I've only seen one other person do that. And that was you.
Well, Bill, 52% shooting. Normally, you know, for the Bulls, that'd be awesome.
I'm like, straight back to it, right?
Yeah, really.
Straight back to it.
Okay, enough. I get it. You know, Caleb Williams pulled the Eli Manning where he signs at the Garden and boom.
Yeah.
But Caleb Williams has a better arm than Eli Manning. But Eli Manning's like about 48 years old, too.
That's true.
I'll give him a break. Anyway, no. So.
That's fair. Back to these Bulls.
Yes.
How crushed were you with how things ended, given that you had witnessed three previous Miami Heat games where the Bulls were able to, if not take off immediately, over the course of a game, just wear the Heat down?
Well, I mean, it was very tough. And, you know, to be quite candid with you, when I got home, I was so depressed that I drank 5 liters of Mr. Pibb.
5 liters?
Whoa!
No, I'm only kidding.
Oh,
Mr. Pibb is my go-to.
Okay.
But I gave it up for Lent.
What's the withdrawal like from that?
Yeah, that's a lot of caffeine and a lot of bubbles.
Is there caffeine in Mr. Pibb?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's like, remember the soda called Jolt?
Oh, yeah. All the caffeine and was like twice the sugar.
It's like a lightning bolt on the side. Yeah.
It was Jolt. It was like the official drink of the San Diego Chargers. Boom!
They were ahead of the curve because now everybody drinks the energy drinks.
And now there's no charge left in San Diego.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There is no
charge.
It's so sad.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Because I don't know. Who's your baseball team?
My baseball team? Well, I was not born in Chicago.
Right.
All right. So during the summers, I grew up in Baltimore with a family. In fact, he was the legendary dean of Baltimore sports, Vince Bagley. So I would stay with his family, with Vince and his wife and their 5 kids. I stayed every summer, elementary school, junior high, high school, first 2 years of college. And I would spend the entire summer there, go to Oriole games, and I would watch Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Jim Palmer, Dave McNally. I mean, you could go right down the list.
Ballers.
Yeah. And so Baltimore, the Orioles were my team growing up. I loved the Orioles, and they had an unbelievable run. In fact, the day that Hank Bauer got fired in 1968, I'm dating myself because I'm this old, they won the World Series in 66. They beat the Dodgers in 4 straight. They had an off year in 67 because Frank Robinson got hurt sliding into second. So in 68, get off to kind of a shaky start. Detroit's having a great run. Denny McClain wins 30 games that year. At the All-Star break, Baltimore fires Hank Bauer. And they name a little-known guy, both figuratively and literally, by the name of Earl Weaver.
Yeah.
I was at the press conference when Earl Weaver was named manager of the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow. So
that's
wait,
a true story.
What year did you come to Chicago again?
79.
Okay. So then in 1983, when the White Sox won ugly, won the division, and I was rooting for the White Sox. I know people are like, Grody, here comes. Oh, I was definitely rooting.
And so was I.
And were you? Because they played Baltimore that year. And the White Sox, if I recall correctly, my buddy Dan Dorfman, White Sox historian, would know better, but I think the Sox just stopped hitting that year, and Baltimore
and a base running gap by Jerry Dibzinski.
Oh wow! Now that I don't remember Jerry Dibzinski.
That's why the man is a legend. He can tell you what you need to know.
But listen, you know what? That series was incredible. I mean, you had Lamar Hoyt, you had Floyd Bannister.
Bannister.
I mean that young pitching staff, and that's why you never have enough. Number one, you never have enough starting pitching. You never have enough D linemen and O linemen.
Oh yeah.
And one thing I learned from Jim Finks, were talking about him off the air.
Yeah, we were.
One thing is that he always told me, you collect assets in any sport when you're a general manager. You can always flip it. And if you have assets, especially on the D line and O line, every team in the NFL wants linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's all said and done, you block and you tackle. And if you can really get it down to the fact that you control the football with a running game, that's what I think Ben Johnson. People have this idea that Caleb Williams is going to be slinging it 45 times and look what, you know, he's going to be the next Goff. No. He's going to run the football. I'm telling you right now, the Bears are going to run the football. They're going to have a different scheme. This is a brand new situation with the Chicago Bears. They have a coach who actually knows what he's doing.
Does Joe Bag of Donuts want the Bears to then draft a running back at number 10, Ashton Gentine, maybe?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm all on board with that. And you know what? I will overpay to get him.
Okay.
That's how much I think of him.
All right. Now, we... Uh-oh. Wait. Ryan
Porth has entered the building.
There you go.
It's a bag of donuts.
Oh,
Ryan Porth, you're a beautiful man.
It's a bag of donuts.
Porth did a great
per
job.
Per request.
He has brought...
He's
I'm with
him. Look at that. There you go.
Donuts showed in the Twitch feed.
So we'll put that there.
Those look absolutely delicious.
Again, Chuck Swirsky, Bulls Radio Network, play-by-play announcer. You've heard him all season right here on 670 The Score, joining us in studio to talk all things sports. Let's go back to this idea, though. You said Ashton Gentry at 10, you're good with, but if it's down to tackling and blocking, why would you not want...
Because I think this kid is a generational player.
Okay, so you're on board. Okay,
I'm all on board. Yes, I do. I think he is a difference maker. I'm all about guys who affect the game in different ways. Multi-dimensional. And to me, this young man, I just saw a clip of him dunking. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He is, and in this scheme with Ben Johnson, he's a natural. There are very few players I can say I will overpay to get that player. I would overpay to get that player because I think the Bears are ready to win now.
Wow.
Not in 2027 or 2026. They are a playoff team now.
I think that they have to be. I mean, if they're not, it's going to be a huge disappointment. Chuck, we're going to keep on going all over the place, but I got people on the text line. They're wanting to know more about the Bulls. And what I want to know from you specifically is this. How annoyed were you by Tyler Hero against the Bulls and hitting all the threes that he was draining?
Well, I mean, listen, Tyler Hero is an all-star player. People think he's a chump. He is not a chump. This guy is a good player.
Very good player.
And I mean, you know, the thing, he got it going. First basket of the game, drives through the lane, lays it up, okay? And that's not a good sign, okay? I mean, to be honest with you, you can't open up the paint. And then he started hitting threes. And when he was hitting his threes, I mean, some of these were contested in your grill threes. Others, you know, he played high screen with Adebayo. He knocked it down. And, you know, there are times when you just got to tip the hat. I mean, was I disappointed with the performance? I think everyone was. I think, you know, ownership, management, coaches, players, however you want to break it down. I think they were expecting a really tough game. I think they were expecting that this game could be a one possession or maybe a last 30 seconds game. The last thing I thought was walking out of the United Center and the Bulls losing by 19. That was the last thing. When I entered that building 5.5 hours before tip, and I was looking around. The last thing in my brain was, hey, you know what? You're going to leave this building at about 9:30, and the Bulls season is over because they dropped a 109-90 game. What? But it happened. I mean, you saw Sacramento. Same thing with Dallas. And that Dallas club, I mean, you talk about a team that's in a lot of things going on the court, off the court, and they went in and quite easily defeated Sacramento. So it happens.
I think the biggest common thread between those two outcomes that you talked about is clearly the teams that won had the best and most proven players on the floor. Anthony Davis, of course, for the Dallas Mavericks, when you compared what's on that Sacramento roster. And then Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, guys who have been all-stars, guys who have made runs all the way to the finals. I think that was a big difference. My question is, going forward, are you okay with what AK was saying in terms of they're not, here's what I know. They're not going to tank. They're not going to tear down the roster. They're simply going to put a competitive product out there and depend on development within players already there. I would argue you need a superstar at some point. And I'm not sure how they get there if they don't go either the tank route or build up enough capital that you can just trade for one when one becomes available.
Okay, so there are two theories about this. Number one, if you're going to tank, quote unquote tank, where are you at right now in a position to, quote unquote, tank? Because to me, I mean, to look in the face of Coby White, to look in the face of some of these veteran players and say, oh, by the way, you know what, for the next 2 or 3 years, we're just going to kind of like just, you know, play these guys 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, and we're going to win 16 games, and then we're going to get a great player. Number one, there's no guarantee you're going to get the number one pick in the draft, okay? That's number one. Number two, from a credibility standpoint, from an integrity standpoint, I don't think you can let that simmer and then percolate and then all of a sudden mushroom into your locker room and tell veteran players, you know what, this season really doesn't matter because we want that top five pick. I think
I'm with you, Chuck.
I mean, to me, credibility is everything. Accountability is everything. And I know what you're saying, that you want Cooper Flagg. I know what you're saying about Harper. I know what you're saying about Bailey. I know what you're saying about all these kids.
We see you, Marshall.
That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. And Mark and I will get into this in detail coming up later in the show. But I will say this, Chuck. My argument against what you're saying is not that you have to say we're tanking. I'm saying it's the GM's job to put them in a position to be able to tank. So you're saying, why would you do that? I was like, well, Nikola Vucevic, do you expect him back after hearing what he had to say yesterday about wanting to be somewhere where they're winning? This is clearly not a win-now situation. He just talked about shortening the window, AK did. And so Vuce has to be moved based on what he wants, I would think. And if you can get a couple of second-round picks for him, you just need to be collecting assets at this point so that you can be in a position to trade for a superstar when they become available.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You've been doing this show for a long time. You've been in the media a long time. Mark has. The guys behind the window have. Oh, by the way, you can wake up now. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Do you really expect any general manager in any sport at a post-game or post-season to go into detail about what their plan is? You can't.
Somewhat.
Well, wait a minute. Number one, why should they reveal what's going on inside their room, their conference room, when they have a think tank session with their assistant GMs, their chief scouts, player personnel director, and they're probably saying, hey, I got to tell you about our 2 o'clock meeting today, and we discussed this player.
In a vague way in saying we're either going for it, which clearly they were doing when they signed guys like Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, the trade for Nikola Vucevic. That all made sense at the time, but once we saw that that wasn't going to work, that's when you have to make a pivot. And I think AK and the Bulls have been too slow to pivot, in my opinion, to make themselves even where you're trading just to get your own pick back. You've got to add as many assets as possible so that when there is an opportunity, you can strike. When a guy becomes disgruntled on another team, a superstar, you can strike. That's all.
I mean, like, I'm with you, Chuck, on the tanking part of it, and we are going to get into it a little bit later on because I don't think that's a mentality that you could just plug into players.
It's not about a mentality, though. It's just about your players aren't good enough on your roster. If you play Patrick Williams 30 minutes a night, you're either going to get more out of them or you're not, and then that's how you get to worse than what they are right now or better, Either way, you learn what you need to learn about guys who are under contract for a long time.
Like no that. Doubt. Chuck, we got to let you go here in a second, but yes. Do you feel good about, I mean, we don't have to necessarily talk about the White Sox because, unfortunately, it is a rebuilding year for them. You feel good about the Cubs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think they're going to win the division.
Win the division,
and there's no reason, with all due respect to Milwaukee and St. Louis and what's going on with the farm system, I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing because – I mean, yeah, I'm disappointed when teams don't, at least the White Sox now, their plan is, all right, we're going with these kids. They have the, what, third rated highest farm system? Is
yeah,
that
the
right?
Farm system's on the rise. Yes. They'll add to that this draft coming up.
Right. All I can say is the Cubs every year should be in a position where they go into September with a chance to win the division. I like what they're doing. I'm a big Jed Hoyer fan. I know he's in the last year of his deal. But I really like the Cubs. I think they're going to win the division, and I think they're going to end up in the playoffs.
Shout out to Beacon Donuts, which is downstairs here in the mighty Prudential Towers. And Chuck, we got the donuts. Good clutch work by Ryan Porth to bring those down here. And Chuck, it's always delightful.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Chuck Swirsky, stopping by, the voice of the Bulls. On the Bulls Radio Network. Coming up next, Joe Ostrowski joins us to talk a little wagertainment. That's coming up on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, no Leila Rahimi Day. She's got the day off. It's okay. She'll be back on Monday.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
That's a lot of value on a very talented team.
Getting you ready for your wagertainment weekend.
The public's been killing the books.
Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
On the Score. Score.
The man gets you money, and if you pay attention, you can get more and more because he's got all kinds of tips. That is our next guest joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline is Joe Ostrowski, the host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. Yeah, download the Circa app today. And Joe, well, I don't think any of us are worried about Rory McIlroy coming back this weekend like we were this time last week.
Wow.
So we do have some interesting stuff going on. It's a big sports weekend. Big series here in town with the Cubs and the Diamondbacks as you join us here on Score Middays with Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, no Leila Rahimi today. She's got the day off. What are you looking at when you see this matchup? We've got people building in-house parlays based just on home runs here because the wind is blowing out today at Wrigley.
Damn right. Contrary to popular belief, I've never gone by Joey Bag of Donuts. Maybe that would surprise some people, but that has not happened yet, at least so far in my life. That's funny. We were doing that at the end of the show today because of the conditions that we're going to see over on the north side today. So we know it's warm and the wind is a howling. They're saying 20 to 25 miles per hour straight out to center, gusts up to 40. And if you look at the entire card today of all the games, this has the highest total, meaning total runs scored. Like, there's no other game in double digits. I didn't even have to look at the weather forecast. You look and you see, oh, 11 runs and Burns is on the bump? The wind's blowing out, and that's exactly what's going to happen today. Now, as far as ones that stand out, yeah, I think parlay is the way because like, 2 and 3 to 1, that's the best you can get on a home run prop. Swanson, great history against Burns, 11 for 18, 2 homers, 3 extra base hits. He certainly stands out, you know, but Tucker could be a play as well. Bush, Carroll on the other side for the Diamondbacks is only plus 175. So there's an expectation that Corbin Carroll goes yard as well. But yeah, that's going to be very popular. I think it got up to 11 and a half runs over at BetMGM. So expect some scoring today.
What about PCA? You don't have PCA hitting one out of the park today? PCA?
I'd be I'd be down with that, and plus we probably get a little bit more value on that one,
okay,
right?
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's what when thinking. You talk about building the parlays, whether it's the two leg, the three leg, and then you can get real adventurous with a four leg parlay. But I think with the Cubs,
yeah.
I think the ball's gonna fly. I think somebody hits double digits today. Can't tell you who. It might be both teams, honestly.
Hmm. Plus 550 for PCA too. So that would really boost. Boost your number.
Who gets the hook first, Colin Ray or Corbin Burns, man? On a day like how you got to let these guys go a little bit, right? Because everybody's going to be getting it up in the air.
I don't know that Colin Ray's all the way stretched out enough to just go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at 75, 80 pitches for him, maybe max.
Okay.
Also not motivated to get to that Cubs bullpen too early.
Yeah. you haven't been hearing about Daniel Palencia?
Oh, here we go.
Joe-O, you haven't been hearing about this?
So, oh, we're good?
Yeah. No, okay. He's our guy. He's the show's guy today.
All right, Joe. We're less than a week away from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, how do you – like, when should people be locking in bets? Because more information is going to come out, and whether that's insider information or just, you know, teams narrowing down what position they might want when you talk about the first round especially, what appeals to you? What are you looking at? What's moved, actually, since the last time we talked?
Maybe I'm off on this, but it doesn't feel like, compared to most years, being 6 days away, that there's a ton of information out there.
No, right? I think you're right.
Like, that we know exactly what's going to happen. Now, people have ideas. Based on every mock I look at, everybody has the same 1 through 5. It's exactly the same. And then the question is, what are you going to do at 6? So Circus Sports, our friends over there, they posted their draft props yesterday. They wait because sportsbooks hate the NFL draft. They hate putting bets on it because they lose on it every year to the bettors.
It's hard.
It's the one thing. It's the one thing where the bettors come in every year and they beat up on the sportsbooks. So they don't take a ton of money. They don't like leaving it up for a long period of time. But we had the risk manager on BetSweats this morning, and he said one of his takeaways from the bets that they've received since posting yesterday was that everybody betting with Circa thinks Gentee's going 6.
Okay.
And they do get more sharper money, right? Like, more respected people go there because they can bet more money. So they thought that was interesting. We do have a odds on the Bears pick, number 10 overall. Let's say they keep that. Gentee is still the favorite, but we're just guessing here because it's better than 3-1 at plus 330. Right there with Gentee, Warren. I mean, we've been seeing that move, yeah. I'd say, a lot over the last week or two at plus 350. So almost the same odds. You could call them co-favorites between Gentee and Warren. And then you get to Banks as the third guy mentioned at 8-1, and then Williams at 10-1. Once you get to 10, who knows what's going to happen before. But the interesting part to draft to me, guys, is that like 6 through 8, like, okay, we have a good idea. These top 8 guys are probably all going to go in the top 10. After that, it feels very much the same after, I don't know, from like 10 to 40 in the draft. Guys that could go mid-first, they could also go mid-second round. That's the kind of draft it is.
Did the Bears pick, or was there a previous heavy odds on a different player up until now, or has it always been Gentee and Warren?
It was more Gentee before.
Okay.
Where he was standing out. And now there's been this move on Warren of late. And a lot of that is like you guys have been talking about all week, and the mocks that have been posted. And then guys like Brugler come out with that. Like, that's going to end up moving markets as well. But there's definitely been a push on Warren to go higher and higher.
Okay, so we're looking at the NFL draft, which doesn't sound like much is changing. We haven't heard any real noise about a trade yet. That's all stuff we'll keep an eye on over the next week as we get ready for Thursday. Meanwhile, one of my favorite weekends of the year, Joe, that first weekend of NBA playoff basketball, because you got back-to-back quadruple headers coming up on Saturday and Sunday. What can you tell us about the way this is all shaping up now that we have all but two teams have been named to the playoff field?
We probably don't want to talk about the Heat too much, but I'll quickly mention this note that tonight, the 10 seed, the road team, is favored at some sports books. There's been a move on Miami. The 10 seed has never gotten out of the play-in to make the playoff, but people are thinking that there's a chance that this ends up happening tonight. Not that they would do anything in the playoff, but that they could win and get in as the 10 seed. There's been a lot of interesting stuff from a betting perspective that's gone on this week as we've been just kind of waiting around for these things to get going. So the Denver Nuggets LA Clippers matchup is certainly one. The 4-5 out in the West. Denver opened as a pretty big favorite. It was minus 190, right? And now the Clippers are favored. There has been so much love on this Clippers team. Some believe they're the second best team in the West. The number keeps dropping on them to win the West. It was 14-1. Now I'm seeing it 9-1 at some places. So a lot of action from sharper bettors in on the Clippers here. Fascinating. Taking out Jokic in the first round. They make that head coaching change with only three games left in the regular season. So they're betting against some sort of a turnaround with the Nuggets. I thought that was interesting. Also in the West, Warriors the 7, we know that. Big favorites over the Rockets. The Rockets are the 2 seed, but they're an underdog to the Warriors. People jumping in on Golden State.
I don't agree that at all, because I've seen those two teams play, and one of them is much more physical and athletic and younger than the other. And I'm a Warriors fan saying that, Joe.
I know you are. Okay.
So I
that's
just
probably why I you're
saw,
saying
I,
it.
And I also saw the last regular season meeting between those two teams. It was not pretty for the Warriors as well. And so in the East, is it still looking like Celtics are that team?
Yeah. They're massive, massive favorites.
So could you get in with Cleveland?
We know it's going to come down to them too, right? It's going to be Eastern Conference Finals. It's going to be Cleveland and Boston. Like, if you're asking me to make a pick, I'd probably pick the Cavs. But it's really, really close. Maybe home court helps a little bit. But, yeah, I'm probably going to pick the ones, right? I've got OKC and Cleveland meeting in the NBA Finals. But it's close. I mean, the rest of the East, it's nowhere near those guys. I mean, the Knicks haven't won a game over either team. They're 0-8 this year against the 1-2 seeds. And that's your 3. Like, Knicks against Detroit. I guess they're kind of like Houston with all the inexperience that they have. And you don't typically want to bet that the first time around when it gets to the NBA playoffs. It probably takes a little bit of time, but most likely it's going to be Cleveland and Boston in the end. That's what everybody has.
Joe, I know you said that you're not Joe Bag of Donuts, but I want to give you that. Who do you want the Bears to draft at number 10? If you could take the betting cap off. And if there's any other takes you feel like you need to get off right now about anything, I want.
That's fair.
We will give you a donut unless Robbie the Tree ate both those. Did you eat those donuts?
Free take Fridays, Joe. Yeah, take yours.
Free take Fridays.
Not Genty.
Oh.
Whatever. I'm anti-Genty.
Wow.
I'm going opposite Skwersk on that. Look, there are a number of running backs that I would love to have, and the Bears don't need to sit number 10 and go, okay, we're good with the offensive line. I like what they've done so far. I like it. It doesn't mean they're set. Offensive line injuries happen every year, a lot of times on a weekly basis to most teams in this league. They need some depth. Let's not just plug holes and then let's go keep it moving. No, build in the trenches. That's what I care about. Best player available, offensive line, defensive line. Guys, that's where I'm at. They are not ready for a running back. I'm fine. Yes, I get it. They need help at that position. You can wait. We don't need to make that leap to Genty right now.
Joe Ostrowski, the host of Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network, and I are completely aligned with those thoughts. Thank you so much, Joe, for voicing my opinion and seconding it on this very program. Thanks for joining us.
I can't believe you say that.
have a great weekend, guys.
See you, Joe.
All right, so that's Joe Ostrowski. And speaking of debate, sometimes we do not agree on things around here, and we have an issue upcoming. Because we have a shortened show, no High Noon today, but we will talk about these Bulls because someone says he's anti-tank. And I'm just saying, maybe do what has proven to get you back in the talk for being, you know, I don't know, a top 4 seed? Is that kind of the way? Yeah, that's the way. Mark Grody and I will talk about it. It's Score Middays on 670 The Score.
The plan you laid out, there has been no talk about how you guys are going to figure out how to add an elite player. Until you do that, you're stuck in mediocrity. And the thing you talked about last year at this time was getting out of mediocrity. So I'm confused with why you think this plan is going to work when there's no plan.
Well, I think there is a plan. And I think that we always going to be looking how to improve this roster.
And the search goes on. That's Arturis Karnišovas as his season-ending press conference. here on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris hanging out with you on a Friday. Reminding you that we're broadcasting from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And there you heard AK addressing the lack of a star, the lack of someone who can put this franchise on its back and carry it to the top of the playoffs, or just to the playoffs as opposed to the play-in. And Mark Grody, you have approached me with this idea that you are an AK defender and are defending his thought process and his way of life.
I can never get mad at any sports franchise, and we're talking about the Bulls. I can't get mad at the Bulls, competitive people, for not being able to pull off a tank, which is what seems like you would have preferred that the Bulls do. Dan Bernstein, I heard, used to hear you and Bernsey talk about that all the time, about wanting to see this team tank. They got rid of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso. So they did put themselves in a position to where we all thought it was going to be an awful, terrible, lost season this year. But you got bumps from a couple guys that you didn't think you were going to necessarily get bumps from. Modest Pozelis and Josh Giddey. So what, sit those guys down and put Dalen Terry and Talen Horton-Tucker and Julian Phillips into the game? Is that what you guys wanted to see?
Let me correct you real quick.
What have I told you about correcting me?
Okay, so you just said that you heard Dan and I talk about tanking all the time.
Yeah.
If you listen that close, and Ray Diaz is back there, he can back me up on this. I told Dan at the beginning of the season, the Bulls are too good to tank even after they get rid of Zach LaVine. Once they move him at the deadline, they still won't be good enough to tank. You know why? Because these teams are out here tanking. How many games clear of a play-in spot do you think the Chicago Bulls were? If you had to guess, 82-game schedule, how many games clear? I'll tell you who the team was. The team that finished 11th in the Eastern Conference was the Toronto Raptors. How many games clear of the Raptors do you think the Bulls were?
What do you, like, one or two games?
Is that what you think? One or two? How about seven?
Ooh.
And guess what? If the Bulls have been creeping closer to being in tank territory, aka finishing the top, the bottom five of the conference, Toronto would have lost even more games.
What did you want the Bulls to do this year? How could they have better tanked?
I'll lay it out for you.
Okay.
It's very simple. I wanted the Bulls to play their young players more. I wanted the Bulls
to
trade.
And who are you talking about? Josh Giddey and Modest Pozelis?
No, I'm talking about Julian Terry. I'm talking about Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry.
At the expense of Modest Pozelis and Josh Giddey.
No, you're not following. I wanted them all to play together, the young guys.
Okay. And
trade Vooch.
Okay.
Trade Vooch. Get the 2 second-round picks or whatever you can get for Vooch. Because now you have more draft assets.
Sit Kobe White, though, right? Because that's way too many. That's way too much scoring. Those are three-pointers. Miss those shots.
I was never under the belief that the Bulls were going to be as good as they are now. I was also never under the belief that they were going to be bad enough to be with the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets, who have 18 and 19 wins apiece, respectively. So my point was, it's okay if you win a little too much and you don't have the best odds. What's not okay is not getting the draft assets moving forward. Nikola Vucevic gone, and now you're playing somebody else at that position, right? So you're not going to win as much.
So this is really just, it really comes down to Vooch for you then.
That's the number one thing they missed on at the trade deadline, is trading Vooch. And also not getting draft assets back as opposed to players. So Robbie, behind that glass back there, will tell you that the Josh Giddey trade was a success. I said it was successful if you just wanted a player, but if you want to be able to move guys to get a superstar, get more draft picks. They should have gotten a first-round pick.
Well, my point is Josh Giddey is going to be better than any other draft pick and what that player is going to be, because my guess is that draft pick was going to be after the lottery. So maybe 20 to 31 or whatever they're going to get for Alex Caruso, because no one's going to trade a lottery pick for Alex Caruso. That's why I was like, you have a certified player here. Draft is whatever. It's any bit of hope, but I understand what you're saying, getting those draft picks to get other things. But Josh Giddey's better than any of those draft picks they would have gotten.
Let me ask you a simple question, Mark. Are we any closer to the Bulls being competitive and competing for a championship at the end of this season than we were at the end of last season?
I think yes, because of the continued development of Modest Puzelis. I think because of the continued development of Coby White. I think because of the surprising things that Josh Giddey did. Because that's the way I look at it. Like, I see this season as a developmental success in some ways. I didn't want the Bulls to be in the play-in game. They're not as good as I wanted them to be this year, but you have some... Yes, you are lacking the superstar.
By the way, the conversation doesn't start unless you have a superstar.
How many teams in the NBA have superstars? Like, there's like it's not. I get it.
Let's
like,
count them off.
It almost sounds like the you think the Bulls are entitled to a superstar, or NBA teams are entitled to having a superstar on their roster. It's hard to get that guy. It's very difficult to get superstars.
There's two ways to get a superstar. There's three actually, but the third one is out of the question. The third one is signing a free agent superstar. Rarely do guys get to free agency in the way that you need to get that, unless they team up with someone else and say, we're just going to go here because we can play together. The other way is through a trade. Again, the Bulls don't have the assets. If Joker was available today, they can't go get him because they don't have the assets to go get Joker.
Do you think that a sign and trade for Josh Giddey, maybe? Do you think that other teams look at him and say, oh, wow, from afar, and just look at the numbers and say, man, look what this guy is doing. Boy, that's not the player that we saw at Oklahoma City. Maybe that guy is suddenly an asset, as Robbie was saying, maybe as valuable as another draft pick.
Where did the Josh Giddey Bulls lead you?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, to the play-in game.
And what happened then?
They lost.
Okay, so no.
So you're saying he's a lost cause because they lost the play-in
game?
And there's no value to that player because they lost the play-in game?
He's not a lost cause, but when you talk about sign and trade for what? What do you think Josh Giddey is getting you in a sign and trade?
I mean, that's an asset. That's an asset, right?
Oh, okay.
So you said that they're bereft of assets, that they don't have.
Yes.
That is an example of an asset, right? That's a up-and-coming, based on this year, do you not think he's an up-and-coming player? Maybe you just don't like Josh
Giddey. I think he's a still-developing player who has a ceiling when it comes to defense, and it takes players who can play both ends of the court to win and compete for championships. That's what I think.
I mean, for sure. I mean, the defense has been a struggle for this player, for sure.
And Josh Giddey's not leading that turnaround, is my point.
But a lot of this season for the Bulls, that's another thing. A lot of this season for the Bulls was rebound and run, and let's catch up with the rest of the NBA and shoot threes and be offensive in that regard. Do they need to add another Alex Caruso, a guy that they traded away, guys that can play defense?
No,
of course they
need
they
to
do.
Add a superstar. They need to add a superstar.
Which isn't that easy to do.
But it's easier when you are bad and you can take on bad contracts. You have so much more versatility when you're not actively trying to just get to the play-in stage and say, hey guys, we led the league in attendance again. And that's where they are right now. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, all right.
We'll have to leave it there for...
To be continued. I think we need to continue this conversation at some point.
Yeah, but right now we're going to switch gears back to Hallis Hall and everything that went down there. I know you've got some great sound that you collected yesterday that we have not heard yet on these airwaves. Mark Grody spent all day at Hallis Hall and then came back and hosted a live podcast in front of a studio audience. We'll talk about both those two things when we come back. It's more... Score Middays right here. Layla, were you giving me with the day off, but Mark Grody in here on 670 The Score.